We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's good to have a steady voice to refer to. Chris Powell has been on the scene for many years here in Connecticut, former managing editor of the Journal Inquirer. Still has his hand in it today, still making regular contributions. And good to have Chris with us. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Will.
I'm almost afraid to ask, but I'm going to. What was your take on the Battle Royale the other night?
Well, I'm almost afraid to answer.
Yeah.
But actually, I was ashamed that the two leading candidates to be leader of the free world would behave like that in public. It was, childish, bullying, name-calling. And it's... it's especially disappointing to me that Trump did most of the interrupting, because I'm more inclined to a lot of his positions than I am to Biden's. I don't know. Some polls, some people are saying that Trump won the debate. I heard you talking about
Telemundo. 67%.
I just don't see how anyone who behaved as he did makes friends.
Well, I don't. It's not my style, certainly, but I do think, and I'm not necessarily looking to you for you to agree on this, but I do think the deck was stacked a little bit. I think Chris Wallace did not do a good job of holding the same kind of pressure to Joe Biden as he did to President Trump. I think there were some big issues that should have been talked about that he chose not to discuss. I think the foreign policy was one of them. I mean, come on, this is the biggest foreign policy move in the Middle East in 26 years since Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I was stunned that issue didn't even come up.
Not even a mention of it. I mean, I just don't know where the fairness is. And I honestly think, I could be wrong, and I can't prove it. It's just conjecture. But I honestly think Chris Wallace's main job was to catch Biden if he fell.
I agree with you completely that the most news organizations are shilling for the Democrats, and it has gotten so it's more extreme than I've ever seen it. Nevertheless, the president did most of the interrupting.
He did.
And it was so obvious to me, and I guess I saw a story this morning saying the debate commission is thinking about it. They ought to put these guys in their separate boxes with, microphone controls that the moderator has, and he'll turn them on and turn them off so that they have their time. They'll be given their time, and when their time expires, the microphone gets turned off. And maybe that way we won't have the display that we had the other night.
Yeah. I felt, too, that, there was a couple of times, three times at least, where you could tell Joe Biden was not in steady territory in terms of the field he was talking about or even the answer he was coming back with. And rather than the president just allowing him, giving him enough rope and let him do what he's going to do, he kept cutting in. And a couple of times he actually rescued him, I think, by cutting in. And it's like, let him show people what he really thinks about this. But by cutting him off and jumping in so many times, it really cut off what could have been an advantage for the president or a disadvantage for Vice President Biden.
So. Yeah, well, that's going to happen. I mean, the press is 99.9% working for Biden. Nevertheless, I think Trump has quite a few strong issues on his side that he would do better to press than to, you know, call Biden stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think they got under each other's skin pretty well, and I think a lot of that was a response. I know for, you know, Biden called Trump a clown and told him to shut up. Just like, no, this isn't supposed to take place. The most
yeah, I mean, this is what the United States is showing the world.
Right.
I was ashamed. I thought it was a national catastrophe of mortification.
What bothers me a little bit about it is, and I've taken the slings and arrows of this. You know, I mean, I've been very open about the fact that I voted for Trump. I'll vote for him again. His policies definitely line up more with my interests than the other side does. There's no question about it. But anytime I disagree with Trump, or anytime I say a word of criticism against something he does, man, the faithful just attack me. And it's like, wait a minute, have we gotten to a point, left, right, whatever, if you don't 100% agree with the candidate on all issues, you're a traitor? I mean, I don't know how that got started.
Yeah, this is the cancel culture. Well, I mean, I'm finding it happening in connection with a nonprofit group that I work with, mm-hmm. going to conferences. We're participating in a conference that has Tucker Carlson speaking at it, and gotten a couple of emails from people saying, "Oh, this is disgusting that you're going to be speaking at a conference with Tucker Carlson because you know
Heaven
he's
forbid.
A Nazi racist and everything
yeah,
else."
Right.
And you know, we don't pick the speakers; it's just an opportunity for us to be heard at this conference, but this guilt by association is being adopted by the left now. I tried to point out to the guy that, you know, in the 50s, this is McCarthyism. This is guilt by association, and the political right was pushing guilt by association. Now it's the political left that's pushing guilt by association. You know, if you mere civility is being considered treason.
Yeah, we've gotten to a bad place. And then, you know, you take that kind of environment and attitude and you try to use that to interpret the nomination of a Supreme Court justice. And I get the Democrat being concerned about this. It's short to the election. But as Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, you know, presidents are elected for 4 years, not 3 years. I know she was talking about President Obama when the Merrick Garland situation came up. But the fact remains, it's constitutionally allowed. It's, in fact, maybe constitutionally required. When there's an empty seat, you make the nomination. It's the Senate's job to advise and consent. That's how it's described. And yet, you know, here's a woman, obviously an extremely successful woman, an incredibly competent jurist by all accounts, left and right, mother of seven. She's got two adopted children of color and a special needs child, and they're willing to go at her. I don't understand it.
Well, I think I do understand it, Will. You know, you're certainly right about the timing. The, you know, the terms of the president and the terms of the Senate are very well defined, and their terms last until they expire, and they are... You know, they're the government until they're replaced. Now, certainly the Republicans are being terribly hypocritical here. That, you know, when Obama was in power and there was like 8 months to go before the election, oh, we've got to wait till the election because the election's so close. Now the election's, you know, 5 weeks away. Oh, we got to act on this right away. Well, it's being done this way, and the Democrats would do the same thing if they were in power, because the Supreme Court is now the supreme legislature. I mean, every issue now is constitutionalized because the one side or the other wants to get a Supreme Court ruling saying you can't change the policy or you can't have a different policy, and this is the supreme power. Mm-hmm. Everything's constitutionalized, and the Supreme Court is the supreme legislature. And if the Democrats were in power now and had taken the Republican position back, you know, when Merrick Garland was nominated, the Democrats would shift their position too. I mean,
sure.
if you have
it's
a
politics.
Chance to get supreme power by controlling the Supreme Court for decades ahead, do you think you give a damn about the risk of being called a hypocrite for a few years? I mean,
absolutely
you know, you give me supreme power and you can call me anything you want.
I'm sure there's nobody on that side losing sleep about it. I think the only reason apart from the fact that it's constitutionally allowed, and I love the fact, I don't know if you saw this piece, but last week, over the weekend, Richard Blumenthal was on with, of all people, Wolf Blitzer. And Wolf shockingly held Richard's feet to the fire when Richard was going off on the Supreme Court and talking about it being illegal. And Wolf said, well, what about it's illegal? What, where in the Constitution does it say they can't do this? And Richard backed off on it and said it wasn't illegal, but, you know, basically immoral that they were doing it. But it was just, I couldn't believe, of all people, to hold Richard Blumenthal's feet to the fire was Wolf Blitzer. So I was kind of stunned by that.
So many of the political arguments today are just so phony and demagogic. But, you know, Trump did something very stupid the other day, in my opinion. You know, he issued another direct attack on Blumenthal. And, of course, that was the thing to make Blumenthal the happiest man in the country. Yeah. But now he's got some attention again because the president's attacking him. And sure enough, the very next day, I got an email from Blumenthal's campaign. It was a fundraising email saying, oh, Trump's attacking me. Please send me contributions. I mean, finally, Blumenthal was relevant again because Trump attacked him. I mean, it was the stupidest thing in the world for Trump to do.
Well, and it's the Proud Boy thing. It was Biden that brought up the Proud Boys in the debate. Trump picks up on it and says it, and then they take it for a national ad campaign. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what you know, the problem is there's too much heat of the moment stuff going on and not enough reflection and pause and thinking about, you know, how is this going to affect the argument if I even say it, if I even bring pause to it, bring mention to it. You know, it's so frustrating. I wish... Yeah, I'd love to be a coach, you know, and say, Trump, shut up. Don't do that. You know, don't say that.
I think, you know, Republican positions on the major issues today would carry a majority if we had a president who could articulate them without behaving like such a goof, such a crazy man. In fact, I was looking at some polls this morning saying that, you know, the public favors, you know, the president on the economy and favors Republican positions on this issue and that issue. But as you know, as soon as you throw Trump into it, I mean, 20 points come off the Republican side.
Well, it was fascinating to me. I watched Frank Lutz, who from Connecticut, I think he still lives in Connecticut. Frank Lutz was talking about a focus group that he did and 15 people. And it was basically ended up in a tie. Three people said they were leaning towards Trump. Four people, these were undecided. Three people leaning toward Trump and when it was over. Four people leaning toward Biden. But everybody else was like, I'm no closer to making a decision now than I was before the debate. So, I don't know who it helped. I mean, I understand. I mean, I was shocked in an impressed way that that survey from Telemundo came out. 67% Hispanic support for Trump winning. I mean, I was like, my gosh, it was impressive. 67. You can't get 67% of people agree on the weather, for crying out loud, let alone who won a debate. So I was really impressed with that. But I think the major thing here for me is going back to 2000. It was the Supreme Court that had to be brought in to settle that election. I'm so concerned right now, Chris, with all this unsolicited mail-in ballot stuff. And now we find today 100,000 or reported today 100,000 ballots in Brooklyn could be considered disqualified because addresses and names didn't match up or something. I mean, I'm just so horrified by the prospect of the confusion that this is going to cause. I do feel like we need a full bench on the court. We can't settle for a hung jury.
Well, this is another issue, I think, that favors the Republican position. I think there was a reason why we, you know, originally had elections where people actually showed up and presented some identification in order to vote. I don't think anybody in Connecticut is in a position to assert that, you know, the more absentee ballots you have, the more honest your election. If they never heard what goes on in Bridgeport every election, you know, it's this absentee ballot fraud is rampant there, and the more paper balloting you have, and the more ballot harvesting that you have, the more corruption there's going to be, and that issue I think is definitely favoring the Republican, but it needs to be, you know, discussed dispassionately without name calling, and apparently we're not capable of that.
Wow, well it's. I don't know where we go from here. I'm afraid to watch the next debate, but again,
well, the polls,
but I
listen. The polls have Biden, you know, solidly ahead almost everywhere. I mean, Lindsey Graham is in trouble in South Carolina. I don't rely on the polls too much, Will, and I think they're less reliable in regard to Trump because Trump is such a character that many of his supporters don't want to express support for him publicly. They're called shy Trump voters, and I think that you know, those shy Trump voters are probably worth, you know, 3% anyway on polls to move the polls reported number in favor of Trump. But I don't know how anybody could have watched that debate and thought that that Trump won. I mean, Trump was just interrupting all the time and a bully, and that doesn't make him wrong on any particular issue. Just in terms of appealing to the public and trying to persuade people that he deserves another 4 years, I just don't know how the hell that works. I mean, I don't think it works among people I want to know.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to separate personalities from issues, and if I made a ledger of reasons I agree with Republicans and Trump, it's going to be, you know, 6-7 to 1 over Democrats probably. So if I have to deal with the personality of the president to be able to ensure that the strength and economic prosperity of the country is going to continue, you know, I'll make that decision. But it's just, it was unfortunate because I think the president had an enormously good opportunity to really make Biden look bad. And I think
he provoked Biden enough into looking bad after a while. I mean, you know, Biden started paying Trump back and the interruptions and nasty language and the names and everything. There's, you know, the point you're making, there's an excellent article, very long article in National Review this week, that makes a very good case that Biden and his family are just as corrupt financially as Trump and his family, and that it does come down to issues, and that as grotesque as Trump is, if you ever get to the issues, all of a sudden there's a case for Trump. And I think that article in National Review did make the case for Trump that, you know, if you think those issues are important, then you know, you're going to have to put up with Trump's demeanor for another term. I'm not saying that's persuasive, but I thought it was the best case that I've seen made for Trump yet.
Yeah. Well, shifting to Connecticut, we had a special session. I'm not sure why. The House apparently. This, I'm getting this from CT News Junkie. The House apparently overwhelmingly approved the energy reform bill. You know, I think there's a little hypocrisy in that because it was the Senate bill that was passed in 2018 that requires Eversource to buy an increasingly higher percentage of renewable energy, which we don't even have the technology for yet, and the costs are going to go directly to the consumer, as they always do. And then they, you know, they pull the, well, what happened, you know, when the rate increase hit? How do you see us functioning like this? I mean, we got a governor who's got supreme power. Talk about supreme power. The governor is the supreme power here in Connecticut. You got a legislature that shows up for this special session largely unnecessarily. Where do we go from here, Chris? I mean, we're ever going to get a normal semblance of state government back?
Well, you know, I hope so. I'm very stunned and disappointed that the Republican candidates for the legislature are not making an issue, apparently, of the unwillingness of Democratic legislators to do the job they were elected to do. They keep forfeiting their power to the governor. You know, we can have grocery clerks go to work every day, and the governor has just given another $2 million contract to the Boston Consulting Group to, you know, decide how to economize and reform state government, and the legislature can't go to work. These are legislative issues, the issues in which the public's got to be represented. So, if Boston Consulting Group can handle these issues and make recommendations for policy and reforming state government. Why can't the legislature do it?
Right.
How does Boston Consulting Group manage to work while the legislature has, you know, got to run away from the virus?
Well, I mean, again, we give them another $2 million to try to figure out and do a study on how to streamline the government. We couldn't do that ourselves.
Well,
we don't have enough intelligent people in Connecticut.
What is the legislature supposed to do? I mean, these are the, you know, primary issues of government administration and public policy. That's what we're electing a legislature for, and now they can't work, but these consultants can work, so we'll pay them $2 million to do what the legislature should do.
It's hard to fathom. I mean, is it a connection between Lamont and Boston Consulting? I mean, why would you do that?
No, I don't think so. I think the Democratic legislators are perfectly happy to avoid all these issues, to forfeit them to the governor, who's not on the ballot this year.
Right,
and so the Democrats can go off and run for re-election to the legislature, having absolutely no positions and no issues
responsibility on
these things that are facing us now. But where are the Republicans? I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. They're quiet. I mean, if I was a Republican, I've said this before, I would be at the governor's door. Forget about we're not in session. I don't even care. Just show up. Be at the door. Demand answers. Demand responses. You know, bring up arguments. I mean, do something. Than just laying there and the only time it seems like Republicans complain now is when there's a special session that's called. Well, okay, fine, but where were you the last 6 months?
Well, nearly every Republican running for state Senate and state House in this campaign is running against a Democrat who doesn't want to do the job.
Yeah.
And where are the Republicans who are making this a campaign issue? In fact, you know, where are the Republicans who are making anything
a campaign issue? Thank you. Yeah, I don't know, Chris. It's maddening to me that this is in my mind, this is raw meat. I mean, this is, you could go after this with a stick and make tons of news with it, and it's crickets. You're not hearing it. I don't know. Well, listen, as always, it's great to talk with you. I know our folks love hearing from you, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk next week. Okay, Chris?
Thanks, Will. I love
you.
Harangue. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.